This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney in for Hana Baba. Alternative treatments like acupuncture or the Indian system of Ayurveda were once shunned by Western medicine, but now they're being taken more seriously. Proof can be found in the emerging field of integrative medicine. Its approach is to take into account the whole person to treat disease by combining modern medicine with alternative and complementary approaches. Dr. Sudha Prathakanti is a strong believer in integrative medicine. As the daughter of Indian immigrants, she grew up around meditation, yoga, and Ayurveda, but then, like her father, went to medical school. She established the first integrative psychiatry program at UC San Francisco's Osher Center for Integrative Medicine. She's also researched the effectiveness of using yoga to treat major depression. KALW's Judy Silber spoke with Dr. Sudha Prathakanti. They began by talking about the origins of a mind-body split that has dominated Western medicine.
In the history of allopathic medicine, conventional Western medicine, there's historically been the split between mind and body, though that split came about for particular historical political reasons in the West.
And what are those?
Well, it's very, very interesting. So up until about the medieval period, in European history, the Catholic Church was essentially in charge of most of the scholarly output in all the disciplines, whether that was medicine, astronomy, botanical sciences, of course, philosophy and religion also. Within that constraint, there was a lot of limitation into how much science could progress. Like in medicine, it was impossible to dissect a corpse because dissecting a corpse is considered to be a desecration of God's work. So Descartes was a revolutionary that allowed for more free scientific inquiry to occur. That he was really a Renaissance man very much. You know, he was a mathematician. He was interested in physiology and medicine. He was interested in philosophy and religion. So, and he considered himself a very devout Catholic. And so he basically approached the Pope with this argument. And this argument was that the influence of the church would remain unquestioned whenever it came to matters of the spirit. Okay? And the matters of the spirit meant anything that to do with philosophy, religion, and actually at that time, emotions as well.
Emotions were considered part of the spirit.
That's right, the mind in general. Whereas he argued that the human body, the physical body, without the spirit, without divine spirit infusing it, it really was the same as a rock or a piece of metal or, you know, something inanimate. And so he made that argument to the Pope that therefore they should allow for examination of cadavers on the grounds that they were no longer infused with this divine spirit. And the Pope accepted that argument. And that actually set the precedent then for the development of modern medicine as we know it. And that development of modern medicine, even after Descartes passed away and many centuries thereafter, this idea that what is the proper purview of modern medicine is simply that which can be studied, examined, dissected in the way that we could physical matter.
And what do you think is the consequence of that?
Well, I think it's had a couple of profound consequences, actually. One is that we have to look at the history of medicine. And in that history, it took the longest time for mental disorders to actually be given the legitimacy that physical disorders were given. And so if, for example, people were psychotic in the 17 or 1800s, the idea that they were possessed by demonic spirits was very commonplace, and that the treatment, therefore, was to get exorcisms or to pray or to get spiritual remedies. That was considered to be the treatment of choice.
But what's so interesting about that is that then, so psychiatry has a reputation of being very pharmaceutical focused and not very encompassing of sort of like the whole being. Is there a societal loss in sort of leaving out the spirit,
Well, I think what you're asking about really is about some of the really the essential questions in the field. I mean, you're really getting to the heart of the matter. And as I was saying before, I think the field itself has swung in many directions. So from initially saying that physicians were going to look at mental symptoms at all, they had to be rooted in some kind of brain dysfunction. Then Freud came on board and said, wait a minute, you know, there's a lot that we're missing by using that approach in looking only at the physical organic matter. And we needed to actually add in the psychological component. And that was just as critical. And so he was a big advocate for that. So that was a huge pendulum swing in that direction. And in fact, went a little too far, actually, in that direction. And sometimes I see these 1940s films, the brilliant psychoanalyst actually finds that there's some long buried secret in the patient's past.
The memory that's been lost.
That's right.
It's now recovered.
That's right. And then as a result of bringing that to light, all of the suffering and symptomatology sort of goes away and disappears.
So it just feels like, I guess, it feels like we sort of, there's a hard time finding the middle.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I don't think actually that the pendulums work. I don't think the pendulum swings work. I think that the beauty of integrative medicine and really the challenge and the promise of integrative medicine is this idea that we no longer have to have this argument about, you know, is it in the domain of the physical or is it the domain of the psychological? And then the larger question of then what is spiritual and where does that also have a role?
You know? And is it appropriate?
And is it appropriate? Yeah. Because even within those pendulum swings that we've seen, there's really no role, as you were mentioning about spirit, you were asking about spirit. There's still no role for spirit as yet in conventional medicine. And so asking that question of when is it appropriate and if it's appropriate, how do we actually address that aspect is something we're only just now starting to have the conversation about. One of the most important parts of integrative medicine is it's saying that healing, suffering, illness, health, all of these, none of these occur in a vacuum. All of these occur in a particular cultural milieu with particular relationships that we have with people.
You recently came out with a paper in PLOS, which stands for the Public Library of Science, and you did a study on treating major depression with yoga. Yoga is so predominant in our culture now. Why is there a need to do a scientific study?
Well, one of the main drivers for me in looking at this as a research study is a lot of epidemiological data that's been gathered in the past 10, 15 years showing that more and more Americans are taking up yoga to self-treat depression and anxiety. And yet we have no data as to whether, or very little data, as to whether it's actually an effective way of addressing depression symptoms that we consider to be severe enough and disabling enough to be called major depression.
Was it helpful alone as a treatment for major depression? Did it work?
Yes, we were actually very pleasantly surprised to find that we got a significant difference between the yoga group and the control group. So we used as a control group education about yoga history and yoga philosophy. But the results that we got showed that not only did the Beck Depression Inventory scores come down significantly more in the yoga practice group, the remission rates were actually considerably better.
Do you see a day when you could go to the doctor's office and instead of them prescribing Prozac or Wellbutrin, that they would prescribe yoga? Is that day coming?
I think it is. And I think it's already happening actually in the Bay Area.